Good morning. The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Cochran, Judge Bjorkman, Judge Riley, the Honorable Jean M. Cochran presiding.
Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. As you know, we're hearing our oral arguments by Zoom today. We have four oral cases and two non-oral cases. For purposes of the recording, I'll just note that today is December 1st, 2022. The first case on our calendar today is Richard Hegemeyer versus Spalding Township and Berg Family Property LLC. Each side will have 15 minutes for your argument, and appellant will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. I understand that respondents are splitting your time, and the marshal is aware of that and will set the timer appropriately. Hopefully you can all see the timer in the grid view. If there are any, technical issues, we'll make sure to stop the timer to ensure you have your full time, but hopefully we won't experience any technical issues. We are recording the oral argument today, as I mentioned, and just a reminder to anyone who is watching this Zoom oral argument, we do not allow recordings of our oral arguments except with express prior permission from the Court of Appeals. So with that, counsel, you can proceed, and I'll just ask that you identify yourself and the party you represent at the start of your argument.
May it please the court, opposing counsel, my name is Matt Anderson, and I represent appellant Richard Hegemeyer. The district court ordered Richard Hegemeyer to pay over $30,000 for a strip of property worth at most about $5,000. And so how do we get that massive gap? Well, the court erred in calculating damages when it first failed to hold the de novo trial, and second, added the cost to create a cartway to the value of the property taken. And first, the court needed to conduct a de novo trial. The process delineated in section 117 is the same as the eminent domain proceeding is what applies to a cartway. And that dictates that de novo trial must be held. De novo, of course, means that hold the trial as though there was no town board proceeding. And we know the court didn't do that because the court says as much in its January 5th order. On paragraph 3 of the conclusions of law, the district court says petitioner has failed to meet his burden that Spalding Township's determination of damages resulting from the alteration of the cartway was done so against the evidence. That's not his burden. Section 117.175 says owners shall go forward with the evidence and have the burden of proof as in any other civil action. So it was the Berg's burden, like any other civil action, to prove the damages from the establishment of the cartway. Elsewhere
so in the subsequent order, though, the district court explained why the hearing was a de novo hearing or a de novo trial. So can you address that order as well?
Yes, Your Honor. And that I think that that sort of this first mistake of not applying the correct standard paves the way for what happens next and not having that establishment of evidence. But if you look at the evidence that was admitted during what was supposed to be a de novo trial, it does not add up to $30,095.88. The only way you can possibly get there is from Exhibit 6, which I could talk about as well in more depth a little bit later after I point one more thing out about that first order, is that that's a miscalculation of damages. In these types of proceedings, it's improper to simply add prospective costs to value. Costs are not value. And the only way we get to $30,095.88 is by adding costs. There's just
what I was intrigued when you said that at most the damages would be $5,000 or somewhere around there, because in your brief you said that the damages should be the county assessed value of the strip itself, which is $2,948. So why this morning did you say $5,000?
Because in preparing for the brief, I noticed I missed a part on the math, which is that the town board had two different strips of land that it added to get to the value of what was taken. I had missed that second part in my written brief, but when you add it together, you get $5,095.88.
So that would be the land value of the 83 foot for the additional footage, which was valued at $21,000.
Correct. That's the that's the top value of the value of the land that was taken. And to talk more about that, with these types of proceedings, right, the point is just compensation for the loss of the property. And what these are treated as is partial takings cases. And so the way we find that damages is either depreciation of market value of the overall property or the value of the property that was taken. And so,
Mr. Anderson, as I read, for example, our Supreme Court's decision in the County of Hennepin versus Lechtelt case, I mean, it suggests a broader measure of damages and maybe, if you will, a looser standard of trying to assess the value of a property that's before it was partially taken and the value after it was partially taken. Doesn't that, in fact, doesn't the district court's approach here square with what our Supreme Court said in Lechtel?
What the Supreme Court said in Lechtel is that any competent evidence that legitimately bears on market value, right? But it still comes back to market value. And what we're talking about with this $30,095.88 figure comes from Mr. Roth and his testimony and his bid. And what he said is that it would cost $65,000 to create a cartway elsewhere on the property. I would say cartway, right? A cartway is what is granted to Hagemeyer. And so Minnesota statute section 164.08 already puts the cost on Hagemeyer to maintain the cartway. There was no cartway existing prior. That's the point, is he petitioned to have it. So what this order did and what the testimony was, is to establish value of what did not exist prior and what Hagemeyer will already have to pay if he wants to turn this into the bid that Mr. Roth gave.
Why doesn't the testimony from Deanna Lemke provide additional support for the notion that damages are broader than the $5,000 you're advocating?
For a couple of reasons. Number one, Deanna Lemke's testimony establishes the way that the members of the trust use that strip of land. And they're not using the right to use that strip of land. What the cartway does is it gives Richard Hagemeyer the opportunity to drive over that strip of land to get to his property. So that's number one. But number two, and she acknowledged that she'd still be able to use it. But the other thing she doesn't do is ever say the value of what she's losing. Not once. She says that this is what we do with that property. And during cross-examination, Richard Hagemeyer's counsel was able to establish that she'll still be able to use it that exact same way. So there's just nothing in the record that says the value is less now that we have a cartway here. And that's really the big thing, is what we need is monetary value on what's lost. Because if you have, let's say this, in this case, right, $30,000 for a strip of land when the taxable value of that property is only $56,000, conceivably, the Bergs would collect that $30,000, then they can turn and sell the property for whatever it's worth, and which would be obviously more than that. So it's a double recovery situation. Just compensation means recover what was lost, right? That's what we're trying to do here.
Counsel, in determining the value of what's lost, you have to look at the diminution of the value of the remaining land. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And so how does your calculation account for the diminution in value of the remaining land?
My calculation doesn't, because the record doesn't. There's nothing in the record about diminution of property value. There's nothing. There is no evidence of what that parcel would sell for in the fair market value after the cartway is established. That's the big gap. And so nothing. But the other way they could try to establish damages is value of that strip of land. And that's where my calculation comes in. The township did place a dollar sign value on that strip of land. And I probably miscalculated in my written stuff. I hope I corrected it now. In Exhibit 6, it's about $5,095.88, according to them.
What remedy do you want from this court?
I believe this court, well, the district court made reversible error. And so this should go back to the district court. And I would like a remand to amend the order to be in line with the evidence. And the evidence is that that strip of land is $5,095.88. That's the evidence of land value here. That's the only evidence of land value here.
So you don't think that the record should be reopened?
No, the they had the opportunity to have the trial, right? That's the burden on the Berg Trust to have established it, like any other claim as set forth in section 117.175. They had their chance. The record is there. The evidence is there. It's $5,095.88. And there's just really one last point I wanted
to... Counsel, though, I understand your point about the cost to build the cartway, but, if we were to remand it to the district court, wouldn't we give it the discretion to determine the value or damages based on the legal standard as set forth in our case law? Rather than directing it to, enter a specific amount as you're requesting?
Your Honor, that's certainly an option. I just believe that if this court does remand, as Your Honor has suggested, the only option the court would have then is to rule the $5,095.88. That is the land value. That's the value of what was taken. Just one final point I wanted to make here is that in the written materials, the respondents both hammered on this idea of the reasonableness of the award. If the court buys into my path, it's a legal issue, right? Whether the damages is erroneous is a legal issue, or the theory of damages erroneous is a legal issue. But if the court finds it's a fact issue, then you go down this line of reasonableness. And I direct your honors to the addendum page 9, respondents addendum page 9. You can see the path of this cartway. It's a tiny little strip of property. Land mass is about 5.5% of the property. And so if this order were to stay intact, the Bergs get to keep 95% of their property, but they're being paid as though they're losing over half of it. That's just not just compensation. That's overcompensation, especially when Ms. Lemke's testimony was that she understands they'll still be able to utilize the property. It's just that Mr. Hagemeyer gets to drive over it. So because the award was speculative and stemmed from an improper burden at trial, this court must reverse the decision, district court, and remand for an order consistent with the evidence of land value. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now hear from counsel for the respondents.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Bill Helwig, William T. Helwig officially, and I represent Bird Family Properties LLC with regard to this cartway appeal. And I think, I would like to discuss the issue of market value, but I think first I just need to make a quick comment that, again, that the appellant I believe is not the real party in interest, that the property that petitioned for the cartway is owned by a trust, not by Mr. Hagemeyer, and that and I did identify Rule 1701 that says that a trustee can bring an action without identifying the trust, but that does not supersede real estate law, which requires all real estate actions that involve any type of conveyance of real estate involving a trust, that the trust be properly identified. Mr. Hagemeyer, he can't convey any of his property without filing a certificate of trust and an affidavit of trustee that identifies the trust, identifies that the trust gives the trustees authority.
Let me just stop you. As I understand the record, this is not an argument you presented to the district court. Am I correct about that?
I was not involved at the district court level, but it is an argument that I presented on the appeal. I believe that
all right,
can be challenged at any time.
Explain why that is true, because generally we don't consider issues that are not presented first to the district court.
Right. But
and also explain why Mr. Hellwig wouldn't have standing as a trustee. I mean, it seems like your argument is really that there's an indispensable party that wasn't joined, which is a different issue than whether he has standing.
Yes. And that both goes to the fact that the trust was never properly identified. As far as the necessary party, Minnesota Statute 501c.0703 requires that a co-trustee participate in the performance of trustees' duties and powers unless they have properly delegated the performance to another trustee. The only way you know that is if a certificate of trust gets filed indicating that a co-trustee can operate independently. Otherwise, co-trustees are required to participate together, and the co-trustee was not made a party to this action. So
can you cite us any case law that suggests that this appeal is not properly before us, where the district court's order is directed to Mr. Hagemeyer individually, and he, you know,
I am aware of a it's an unreported case, Sitch v. Bay Lake Township. It's C-I-C-H v. Bay Lake Township, 2018 case, which involved a similar claim that the petitioner did not properly identify a trust that was involved in that matter. However, in that case, the petitioner for the cartway did identify that the trust would also be benefited by the cartway, and the trust participated throughout the entire proceeding. So this court found that they had not, or that the parties had properly been identified. So there was a standing to bring the case to the Court of Appeals.
And what is the cite to that case?
The site to that case is, it's, well, the Court of Appeals case number is A18-0542, filed November 13th, 2018.
I don't think you included that case in your brief, did you?
No, I found that in response to, or I found that case when I was reviewing appellant's reply brief. But I did then look at that to see how it applied with regard to this issue. But
would you agree, though, that the district court's order is directed to Mr. Hagemeyer individually, so the damages that are due are he is responsible for them? He's not responsible. The Bergs are, but it's he is the named party, correct?
Yes, He is.
I'm sorry, I'm getting myself confused here. He is responsible under the order to pay the Bergs, the LLC, the damages.
Yes, Your Honor. And I would be requesting that that this court would require the district court would first require the town that the Cartway order issued, it has not been recorded yet, that it be issued as a Cartway to benefit the trust property, not Hagemeyer. And then the district court order would need to be amended to reflect that the damages order applies to the trust and not to Mr. Hagemeyer individually. That to prevent title issues in the future, because recording a Cartway granting Hagemeyer a private Cartway to a property that's owned by a trust, not by him individually. Now what you've created is you've created a private easement in gross, and that Cartway is not appurtenant to the land that it's intended to serve, which would provide create issues for future purchasers of the Hagemeyer property.
I understand your point, but your clients were represented at the district court level and that these issues weren't raised.
That is correct, because they were not aware that Hagemeyer's property was owned by a trust, because he represented through the entire proceedings, all the proceedings from the township through the district court, that he himself was the personal owner of the property, when in fact he was not.
Don't the property records reflect that the property is owned by a trust, if in fact it is owned by a trust?
They do.
Okay.
They do.
Well, but why don't we move on to the yes. merits of the case?
Yes, Your Honors.
Do you think that the Bergs presented evidence of their loss or what they should be paid based on the cost of the improvements to the Cartway?
The cost of the improvement do come into play because, and as the appellant stated, the just compensation is what is required. And just compensation is based on the market value of the property and the loss in market value to the property.
Well, do you agree that statute 117.175 subdivision 1 requires that damages reimburse a landowner, now I'm quoting, for the land taken and damages to the remainder not taken?
Yes.
That's the damage calculation.
Yes. And this court has previously stated, Ramsey County v. Miller, that the sum that market value is measured by the sum that a purchaser willing but not required to buy the property would pay to an owner willing but not required to sell the property, taking into consideration the property's highest and best use. The problem with appellant's argument is that he argues that the taxable market value is the value of the property, and that's all that the Bergs are entitled to, whereas the county does not take into account highest and best use when they assign a market value to a property. They assign a market value based on present use. And the highest and best use of this property, in my mind, is as a hunting property with a cabin at the southeast corner of the property at the end of that road.
Assuming, Mr. Hellwig, that we agree with you on that.
Yes.
I'm still having a hard time finding any support for the damage calculation the district court engaged in here. How does the price of the cost of improving or this Cartway, or I guess altering the Cartway, how does that impact the market value of the whole rest of the property?
Well, all of the testimony that was gathered at the trial and was presented to the town board indicates that the value of the property is all located along that south corridor, southern corridor. The soil and water, Stephen Hughes from Aiken Soil and Water testified that the present Cartway location running along the railroad bed was the only possible location left due to wetland issues. That tells us that the northern portion of that property has wetland issues throughout, and without that railroad bed on the southern end, it loses significant amount of value.
Counsel, where in the district court's order do we find the legal standard it applied to determine damages?
I couldn't point to that right at this moment, Your Honor. I would like to point out that interference with a property right as well as physical occupation constitutes a compensable taking. And the interference by Hagemeyer requesting a 66-foot wide cartway, even though he's entitled to 33-foot, he requested 66-foot wide, so he takes the entire rail corridor. It's wide enough that he can have a road as wide as a county highway, complete with ditches, built along the entire, across the entire south end of that 40, and then petition and request the township to take it over as a town road. And the Bergs then lose absolute use of that parcel for hiking or hunting or being able to put a cabin at the end of that road on their property. And highest and best use does not require that that's what the Bergs' intention is. It's just what the highest and best use is. And
is there any evidence as to what the market value of that is?
Well, the evidence of the value of that corridor is, it was provided part of it as construction value.
That's the cost to build, not the cost to buy, correct?
Right. But the Hagemeyer is responsible for construction costs wherever a cartway is put in. He can't wait for someone to build a road and then say, okay, now I want a cartway over that. Your private road is now a public road that I can use. And by the way, I don't have to pay construction costs because I waited till it was constructed. The construction costs that are required to build that type of a roadway are part of the value of that end of the property.
Okay, thank you for your responses to our questions.
Thank you.
As you saw, we had a number of questions for you, so I appreciate your responses. And Mr. Woody, you'll now have 3 minutes.
Thank you. May it please the panel, counsel, my name is Scott Whitty. I represent the town of Spalding in these proceedings. And as the court is well aware and can see here, this dispute is primarily between Mr. Hagemeyer and the trust that owns his property, and the Cartway petitioner and the Berg family, who owns the Burden property here, the Berg family LLC. However, the record should reflect that the town of Spalding has been involved in this in these Cartway proceedings for now going on 23, almost 24 years. So I thought that probably earned me a spot at the table for these appeal proceedings. I was not a primary player in the trial following the town board's determination of damages, but I was present. And I think that the town has an interest in ensuring that the legislatively mandated cartway that it awarded here is put forth, that the cartway petitioner has access to a landlocked property, and that the Burden property owner is justly compensated. Your Honors, I believe that the evidentiary record at the trial shows the town's process here for determining the damages, but I understand also that the town statute, the town road statute, and the cartway statute do afford a review de novo by trial.
Go ahead, Judge Bjorken.
I was going to say, I wanted to follow up on one of appellate counsel's argument, and that is the district court, in fact, did not provide a trial de novo. And I mean, you have to look at the damages awards. It looks like all that the district court did was really rubber stamp what the township did. Is that what the statute requires?
No, Your Honor, that is not what the statute contemplates. However, I think the reviewing court here has the responsibility of looking at whether there is evidence in the trial record to support a determination of damages as put forth by the judge. And without, in the absence of a specific tool or formula or mechanism for determining damages at this trial de novo. The judge sitting in this chair at the time of the trial may very well need to incorporate some knowledge of the area, knowledge of in his life experience to determine that, just like town board members are put forth with that, there's no requirement for an appraisal at the town board proceeding, nor is there at the trial. So I would, when I see this, I look at what is the evidence at the trial, and you have a Burden landowner who's testified about the limitation of use, and the Cartway petitioner is getting what is there, and that is a constructed roadbed. And I think that really gets to the grava of Mr. Roth's testimony, showing what the value of the property lost by the Berg family and LLC, and what the what is no longer theirs for sale or exclusive use. I'll close my comments there unless there's questions.
I have one quick question for you. Do you agree that that fair market value should be used in determining damages, that that's the appropriate legal standard, the change in fair market value?
I think that that is a component of determining damages in a Cartway proceeding. I think that what is also included, though, in addition perhaps to that, or as part of that, as was mentioned, is the value or the impact on the remainder of the property, which can be significant if it's exclusive right and inability to sell an important part of a property.
Thank you. Any other questions for this respondent? Okay. All right, when the marshal's ready with the clock, Helen will have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay, so I want to just touch on the proper party. The original petition was to alter an existing Cartway. The existing Cartway was in Richard Hagemeyer's name, and I think that that's what set this all in motion. Richard Hagemeyer petitioned to alter Richard Hagemeyer's Cartway. I think either way, we're here now on an order to appeal damages that have been assessed to Richard Hagemeyer, and I think it can be that simple. The other thing I wanted to point out is that, again, back to 117.175, this damages have to be established like any other claim, right? They need to be ascertainable with reasonable exactness. We can't have all these just floating ideals around and say, oh, here's a number I have down to the cent, based on all of these amorphous ideas. We have to be able to go back and calculate those with reasonable exactness, like we would any other claim. And the record's just devoid of any of that, unless you do what is expressly not allowed and add what Mr. Roth said would be the cost of building a Cartway, right? Not building a railroad bed. It was his testimony that this is the cost of creating a Cartway. And so with that, I think that it's clear that this was, if we try to go back and add it up, it's all speculative, which means it's error, and this has to go back to the district court. Thank you.
Also, if we were to agree with you that the district court erred by failing to conduct a de novo trial, would you agree that the remedy would be to reverse and remand for a new trial?
I think that this court could fairly do one of two things: reverse and remand for a new trial, or the court could say the trial was held, the judge did not consider it a de novo trial. So there's evidence in the record that's already been there, and now what the judge needs to do is review that evidence in light of the de novo standard. And it is my belief when the district court does that, the figure will have to be $5,095.88 or less if he misses the math like I did in my written brief. But that either one of those two things, I think this court can fairly do.
Okay, any further questions from the panel? All right, well, thank you to all of the parties for your helpful briefs and helpful arguments here today. We will take the matter under advisement and issue our decision within the statutory timeframe.